Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film, featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Into the Badlands, episode 208, Sting of the Scorpion's Tail. So, Sting of the Scorpion's Tail, do you want to interpret that or do you want to skip that for today?
I don't know. I kind of thought of it was like being like in the lion's den.
Yeah, because like they have to go back into the Badlands, and I was getting a couple of Children of Men flashbacks there, now that I think of it. You know, being a refugee boarding onto a bus. Yeah. And then being forcibly taken off the bus. I mean, different situation, but still. Just because I want to get through this episode really quickly, I don't really want to linger on stupid title stuff, so I think I'm going to just skip on over. But yeah, like, they're going back into the Badlands, back into the lion's den. I actually don't have too many notes, except I think my first one was I really like the music at the beginning, when they, I think they're like, they kill Hassan, or however they pronounce his name. They kill Hassan and his, I guess that's his regent or someone in his crew. So the butterflies kill them, and it's just, like, a beautiful scene. For some reason, there are, you know, there's, like, drapes and cloth everywhere for, like, no apparent reason.
For reasons.
But, I mean, for aesthetic. So,
yeah,
Hassan was all about aesthetic. So it looked great. I mean, the shadows really great were scene. Super, like, the whole shadow thing was like very dramatic, and it felt like old school, but like in a good way.
I really appreciated it. And you mentioned the music that really stood out for me, and I always liked the music in the series, but was Quinn's entrance music. Do you remember that? It's just like the like heavy guitar, and like it's just so rock and roll.
Yeah, I thought the music in this episode was like a little bit more elevated than the other episodes. Like, I just noticed it more this time.
Yeah.
There was also a point, I don't know if I wrote down when this happened. Maybe it was afterwards when the Widow and the Butterflies enter West Avalon, or where Quinn's hiding in his bunker.
Yeah,
but I think
yeah.
the music when they enter is also really good. I think that's the part that I noted. I don't think I noted Quinn's entrance. But Quinn always has that, that, like, heavy guitar sound when he enters a room, I guess.
That's how I want to enter a room.
With guitars, just, like, a dramatic Pacific Rim guitar entrance or something. Yeah. I have to say, you know, what with all these barons just dying left and right, getting their heads chopped out, I'm like, so is it me, or one, is security really bad in the Badlands, or two, there is non-existent security? Like, everyone is so, like, prideful and confident in their own security forces that when they get chopped down, it's just like, oh, well, that happened. I guess I'm gonna die now. Like, I feel like there's never any planning about how do we break into the city. Like, they just, I feel like that's only, like, Quinn is the only one who gets that treatment. Like, how are you going to kill Quinn? It's, like, basically impossible, right? But, like, all the other barons, it's like, oh, we're just going to waltz into their farm and just, like, kill them all. Like, I don't know if it's because, like, the lack of preparedness, the lack of, I guess, paranoia versus Quinn's paranoia. Or just Quinn's just better at security detail. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's because they're tertiary characters.
Yeah,
I mean, and they didn't want to spend time breaking into their place to kill them. I think it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think they really should have better security.
At least a modicum, or like some kind of like they tried, you know?
Right. Or maybe we're supposed to interpret that they did have lots of security. We just didn't see all those fight scenes.
Yeah, so it's been a while since I made a Breaking Bad reference, so I feel like it's time for me to make another one.
But I
was thinking back to, like, there's some seasons of Breaking Bad, well, I think most all of them, there's usually one big villain, who is, like, basically impossible to get to them because they're so well fortified, so, you know, like, unkillable, that when they do finally get to them, and they do finally find some way to defeat that boss or that villain, like, it feels very, like, wow, like, this was, like, a well-deserved kill, or, like, right. you know, it's just, like, more, I don't know, more emotional. Not to say that this show needs that or anything, it's just, mm-hmm. like, it's super easy to kill, like, most of these Barons, and I'm like, eh, it feels like the stakes are a little bit lower when that's the case, so it's not as interesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't know. I think if they should
have built
that,
up the Barons as, like, each of the Barons should have had more of a role, more of a personality, and it could have become more of a, you know, a task to take each one of them out.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that they should or need to go in that direction, because then it feels very like Scott Pilgrim, like literally all the ex-boyfriends are like villain bosses that need to be like that's a little much. But so like it's like obviously a choice, right? They don't have to do that, but I just feel like it's like they're too easily defeated, and I don't know who the Barons are, so like every time I see a new one they just die right after, and I'm like, okay, well, like how many Barons are there? Who are these people? Like, what's their deal? Why are they important? Like, I want so a little bit more details on that end.
I believe there are 6.
So, like, aren't they all dead now? Like, I feel like they killed so many Barons.
Assuming
there's Jacoby,
that,
and then I don't know who took right. over.
Whoever took over for Jacoby is still around.
Right.
I would presume.
I think it was that
so
old white guy.
So, that would leave 4.
Okay,
Jacoby's successor,
Chow,
Widow, and Quinn, who, I mean, he's not really still a Baron. I mean, he is, but he's not, because
he's
still underground.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that I find a little strange. So what, he's still underground because he doesn't want to be found out and, I guess, killed by all the other Barons? But, like, doesn't he technically have Ryder's property? Like, what's happening there? Are people just, like, chilling out, squatting? Like, I don't know what's going on there. Like, there's that whole fort estate, right? It was a big piece of property. What's happening
right.
there?
No idea. I don't know.
It
seems impractical to let that go to waste, but...
It's definitely happening. Or maybe people are just still chilling there. Be like, well, I guess Quinn's, like, kind of here, but not. So I guess we'll just keep doing our thing. Maybe Waldo's in charge of it. That would make the most sense to me. But I'm just, like, pulling that out of my butt. I don't know if that's true or not.
I thought Waldo was... on Team Widow.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, maybe he's running that piece of property. Or maybe not. No, you're right. That doesn't really make more sense. Forget it, man. Trying to parse this is not helpful.
Well, I mean, think of the economics. How can Quinn afford any of this?
I don't think anyone in this show can afford anything that they have. Like...
Well, I mean, you could argue that the Barons have some kind of economic stability.
Uh-huh.
But Quinn... I don't understand where any of his money is coming from.
Yeah, like, how is he getting food and resources? Like, Clippers just being like, well, I guess, you know, I'll have to feed little Timmy today. We'll just take care of, you know, Quinn. Like, what? Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
Well, okay, so they're hunting for food, so there's that.
Okay.
But... that you need more than just food to survive. And it's interesting or weird, or maybe it's a choice, that none of the people in Quinn's little army has a family.
Right,
or...
right, that's true. They all appear to be, you know, single men, so.
Yeah.
There's a Yaoi fanfic hidden in there somewhere. I just know it.
Oh my god.
I just know it.
No.
Okay, moving on. So, the music is great. Security seems lacking. I keep saying his name wrong. I think they pronounce it Hassan. That Hassan guy looked so much like Sunny at the beginning that I almost thought it was him for a second. I was like, he looks kind of like Sunny's, like, long-lost brother or something. And then I was like...
You never know.
No, and also he's dead, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, yeah.
But
it was weird. When they... like, they first introduced him, I forgot that he was a Baron. I didn't know who he was.
I don't remember him being at the Conclave, to be honest. But then we saw it such a long time ago that...
yeah. And, I mean, honestly, besides, you know, the 3 main Barons there, Ryder, the Widow, and Chow,
everyone else was just kind of there. Like, they don't matter.
Right.
I mean,
but
unless Zephyr pops up again, but I think she's dead, right? So it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
like,
who knows?
They're so disposable, anyway. Man. All the barons are so disposable.
Well, that's why they theoretically didn't want a war. They wanted to maintain their peace, but
yeah, well, that's hard to do when Quinn is part of your little world of crazy. So, good luck with that.
But when they had him, what's his name, Hassan?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to be like a new character.
No,
I was like,
they
you're spending
him off pretty easily.
Yeah, but they're spending a long time, like just like staying on like his face and like his reactions, and then I realized that he was going to die. And
no,
was
he
like,
was a goner.
That's too bad.
Yeah. I kind of wanted him to win, but obviously I knew that Tilda was going to die, so he was not going to win.
Yeah.
It's the whole
Tilda
battle
of who's...
Tilda's
such a good fighter.
She is. She's gotten a lot better from, you know,
she's
killing
so
squirrels.
She's so much better
or whatever
than season one.
I was just, like, thinking, you know, like, it's just a battle of who's been on the show the longest, really. If you know he's going up against Tilda, you know Tilda's going to win. It's just, there's no question.
Yeah, that's true. But I really liked, I think this was later on, I think this was at the fight scene at the end, but Tilda did, like, a classic widow move.
Oh.
Where she, like, she kind of stabs the guys, like, behind her.
Oh, right, yeah, that is a classic widow move.
And I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
You have more of a memory for these fight scenes than I do. I think
it's the only thing that I retain.
The violence.
That says something bad about me, I'm sure, but let's not dwell.
Nah. So, Sunny, Badgie, and MK fall into a trap, like we mentioned earlier in this episode. They get on a bus, and, it's not good, because they get on a bus that just goes into the hands of Chow's, I guess, forces? Clippers? Whatever?
Yeah.
And, you know, they get captured, and I love... Sorry, I'm, like, skipping a little bit ahead, but I really liked Badgie's little comment about once they're imprisoned in that little mini prison, mini jail. And Badgie's stuck with, in the same cell as Sunny, and he just looks at him, he's like, don't give me those eyes, and I was like, Sunny's puppy eyes, or whatever weird eyes he does, when he's like... You did this. I was like,
yeah,
it's true. I love Badgie. He's like so, he's like just like, you know, he's like the audience. He's like, he's just saying what we're thinking.
No, he's really great. He's definitely grown on me.
Because he's also developing as a character, I think. That's also part of it, too. He's not.
I guess we're not really supposed to think about, like, why the smugglers sold out the bus. I mean
I thought it was a waste of a perfectly good bus, to be honest. I mean, do these people are like, unless there's some kind of freaking car manufacturing factory somewhere, like, why did they totally ruined the bus for no reason, and they didn't even kill three people on the bus?
Yeah, so, I mean, there was so little point. It was sad.
I mean, it was just meant to look kind of cool.
Oh, yeah,
whatever. Like, realistically, in the world, in the universe of the show, they just wasted that entire bus. They can't, unless they patch up all those holes, they can't reuse the bus, and they just wasted a ton of artillery. Like, what? Okay, yeah. Chow, that's why you're losing the war, because your men are willing to, like, shoot, like, 500 arrows at a bus and not even kill the three people on it. That's why.
She needs a degree in economics.
I love having you on this show for the economic side of things.
I'm just saying.
I think all the, what do they call it? I think all the economists died off before whatever apocalypse happened that led to the Badlands. Because none of the economic systems make any sense in this world. So
no, they really don't.
There's that.
That said, if there was a group of people to die off first, economists... probably a good one to bet on, along with statisticians and maybe accountants.
Quinn, your kills have statistically gone down since you received this tumor. I think you should, I don't know. I guess he didn't really have any good options anyway, even if a statistician told him. He'd probably kill a statistician, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't handle finding out the news very well.
You know what I don't understand after the events of this episode? I don't understand if Vale was actually healing the tumor or not, because I thought she wasn't. I thought she was letting the tumor kill him, but, and that's what Quinn apparently thinks, but then Vale's like, oh, I saved him. I'm like, but I thought you were letting him die by not treating his illness. What is the truth?
Oh, didn't she save him at another point?
Yes, I thought, it was unclear that's to me what whether that's what she was referring to. That's what I thought as well, but I just thought it was so strange, because they, like, bring up the tumor, kind of, but then, you mm-hmm. know, like the show does, it forgets that it's happening, conveniently. Ugh, I hate the whole tumor subplot. It just makes everything stupid, like, ugh.
Yeah,
like, they only it really had it does. So they could do certain thing, fun things that certain times, like have Ghost Rider, because you couldn't really have Ghost Rider. I mean, maybe you could have a Ghost Rider, but with the tumor it was a little more believable, but then they didn't bring Ghost Rider back, so it's like, oh, what a waste.
Yeah, I feel like if it had just been his general descent into madness,
that would have been
I could have lived with that.
Yeah, they just
he didn't need to be a tumor. I guess that brings Vale into the mix, so I get that aspect of it, but still.
They made it a little bit more dramatic with the tumor, and it brings Vale into it, but then they probably forgot about it, so it's like, what's the point? I mean, to be fair, TV shows do this all the time, where they introduce a plot point and it doesn't go anywhere, right? Like, you know, this show's done this. I was like, what happened to Sunny's alcoholism that at the like in episode one? You know, and, like, this is not the only show to do this. Like, people, especially in early seasons or early episodes, they'll, like, bring up random character traits and then, like, conveniently forget about them. Just like just TV shows in general. But, like, the tumor's a huge one.
Right. I mean, they didn't forget about it. It was more, they just remember and forget when they want to.
Yeah. So, to go back, sorry, I'm really tired. To go back to Sunny. And how he decides that he's going to leave the prison. He's like, Badgie, this whole BS route is not working for me. Let's just, like, go with the truth. So, actually, he's able to use the scars on his back. Not scars, sorry. Tattoos on his back to, you know, truthfully be like, hey, your Baron's going to want to meet with me because, look, I'm a Clipper who killed, like, 400-plus people. I mean, which is interesting, thinking about how the previous episode, he was so haunted by the tattoos, but in this case, it was kind of useful. But then Badgie's like, what kind of man will you be after you've done all this stuff to get back to your wife and child, blah, blah. Not wife, I know they didn't actually get married, but you know, like, basically, wife and child. And, I don't know.
But
I
it was Sunny's nice, like, Sunny was able to play the cards that he was dealt.
Mm-hmm.
Really well. And he's not as good at Badgie as, like, just completely pulling out of his butt, but he can kind of manipulate the truth a little bit, and he can kind of play to the circumstances and kind of see where the, you know, the river takes him. The River King takes him.
I would love to see the River King again. I mean, he's gonna be crazy and he's gonna freaking want to kill Sunny and MK, but it'd be kind of great to see him pop back up again.
I was interested that they actually they referenced him.
Oh my god, they referenced past events. What is this new writing team on Badlands? They know what they're doing. No, I mean, like, no shade to the season one people. So, like, that was good. It was just such a short season, you know? It's, like, hard to work with six episodes. But, anyway.
I think the flaw of season one was their ambition. And I didn't fault them for it at the time, and I still don't really, because I don't fault the show for ambition.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to pack into six episodes, for sure. So, anyway, he has the scars, tattoos. I wrote down scars on my notepad. He has the tattoos, he gets a meeting with Chao, who is awesome. I'm gonna be so sad when she dies, but Chao is awesome.
but she will die.
She will die. And I love how, like, you know, Sunny's just, like, looking at the books, and she makes some kind of snarky comment about, like, killers reading classics, which is, like, eye roll. But also, like, Sunny can't read. Y'all remember season one, episode one, where, like, he's struggling to read Dr. Seuss or whatever? So,
yeah.
Lol,
well, he can read a little.
He can read a little. I don't think he can read classic literature or whatever.
I really liked the huge painting, though.
Oh, the painting was a good touch.
It was Like, that whole set was so cool.
Yeah.
It made you really, like, feel like you knew who Chow was.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about how we don't really get to look at other Baron's spaces too much. I mean, we've seen a lot of the Widow's space and a lot of Quinn's space, and, like, Quinn, obviously, you know, like, it's very reflective of, like, who he is as a person. And, like, I like that about, like, they do that with Chow, too. Like, her, like, living area is very, like, her. Or, like, gives us insight on who she is. It looked very modern to me. Yeah. Like, it looked very 2017.
Yeah, no, so, it definitely does. Very Instagram worthy.
Yeah, in like, how do I say it? In an AU that it was like, isn't it like modern day AU? Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Modern day AU, like, Chow would be an Instagrammer, you know, you just know. But it would be like a pretentious, like, not, like, I don't know. Whatever, I'm gonna stop talking now. But you kind of know what I mean? Like, it would be like a pretentious Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, back to this. Sunny can't read. Sunny can't read. And then we flip back to the whole Widow, Quinn, Vale, Tilda scene. So we go back to their little meeting, because I guess the Widow and Quinn are just, like, trying to draft up a plan while their forces just, like,
chill,
catcall and glare at each other, I guess. And Tilda sees Vale, which is kind of a shock to her system, and she's just like, wait, you have, like, a child, and my mother sold you out? Like, what? And Vale's just like, don't talk to me, child, and it's just great.
Wait.
What?
Tilda knew about the baby.
Did she?
I thought she did.
I don't think she had the baby when she last saw her, right?
What do you mean she
was still,
she didn't...
No, Vale was still pregnant, but she had not given birth to Henry, right?
Oh, she never ran into Tilda when she was at the Widow Mansion?
No. They interacted, they talked, but I know Vale was pregnant. I think she was pregnant, but she hadn't given birth yet when she had last seen Tilda. Anyway.
No, I mean like 2 episodes ago.
Oh, you're right. I think she did see... Yeah, no, she must have seen... I don't know if she saw the baby. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I just meant it more like... I think it was more of a shock when she... Like,
yeah.
Once she's confronted with the reality that there is a infant involved in all of this, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a little more hard-hitting than just being, like... Just, like, kind of, just, like, general, like, oh, this person has a baby. Rather, like, you see the mom with the child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more impactful, I think. So, she sees Vale with Henry, and then Vale's like, yeah, you had a chance, you had a choice, I had a choice, we both made bad choices, we should have killed those people when we had the chance, and we didn't. I'm kind of interested to see what goes on with Tilda, because I think they're trying to put her back onto that whole, what's it, like, she's kind of conflicted about how she feels about the Widow.
Yeah.
And I always find it interesting when she's in that situation. I'm happy that the B couple's back together, kind of back together.
Yeah, they gotta look at each other, and they, like, oh my god.
You know when the B couple is starting to get back together, the A couple will also soon be back together.
Yeah.
One follows the other. I also like, so again, it flips back and forth between Sunny and, I guess, like, the whole Quinn, Vale, Widow subplots. So my next note is about how I like how Chow's, her insignia is, like, a fox, and she also has, like, that white color thing going on. Again, I think back to Chinese mythology, we talked about this, I think, in a previous episode. I must have eaten a lot for breakfast. We talked... in an earlier episode, I think maybe it was the last episode or the episode before, no, I think it was last episode, about how there's, like fox spirits in East Asian culture, right? So,
yeah.
Like, in South Korea, it's, like, Gumiho, I think in Japanese culture, it's, like, Kitsune, and then I always screw up the Chinese pronunciation. I want to say it's, like, Hujiling, but anyway, they're just fox spirits who can kind of range from malevolent malevolent, excuse me, malevolent to more, like, trickster figures.
Uh-huh.
So I like, and they're usually female, so I like that Chao has, like, the fox as her, like, symbol, because I think that works in the context of the show.
Which Baron had, like, the peacock?
That was Hassan.
Okay.
So...
I was trying to, like... So, do we... So, that's four. Do we know the others?
So, we have Jacoby, we have the Widow, we have Quinn...
Wait, what animal is Jacoby?
And I don't think you ever figured out what animal Jacoby had. Okay. Just the tartan animal. Sorry, I guess that wasn't that funny. Because of your reaction. But anyway, so we had Jacoby, unknown animal. We have Quinn, which is the armadillo. Widow's butterfly. Chow is the fox. Hassan is the peacock. And then, like, we don't know who the other beheaded guy's animal was. So that's already six. Were there more?
No, those were the two we didn't know.
Oh, so that's it? Those are all, yeah. There's only six Barons.
There's only six Barons. That was established, well, I believe, in season one.
Well, that's... Well, they're going to take over pretty easily if that's the case. I mean...
But... I mean, you could argue that maybe each of the Barons who died have successors or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you would think that would happen, but who knows? Never know.
The show's maybe... not very consistent with this logic, so...
Well, yeah, I guess you could just argue that... You know, everyone's too afraid of Quinn and the Widow or something like that.
I mean, I would be afraid of those two. They're, like, you know, completely out of it. Insane. Like, I will kill everyone. But, whatever.
Yeah. It was a little disappointing that the Widow kind of... She's lost her moral high ground.
Yeah. And they've made... Did she ever even happen in the first place, though?
She was closer at the beginning of season two.
True.
And I thought maybe they would take her in that direction, but they didn't. They just let Tilda, like, become extremely conflicted.
And disillusioned with everything.
Yeah. But the Widow has always been a ends justify the means kind of lady.
True. Quinn continues to be despicable and disgusting and has an awkward, awful family dinner. Because that's who he is as a person. While he's eating his bloody rare steak like an animal. And he's like, oh, I can never let Henry out of his sight. And then promptly in the following scenes lets Henry out of his sight every scene. But okay, Quinn. tumor or just Quinn? Who knows? And then he tells poor Vale that they're gonna get married. And it looks like it's like the same day. And it's just awful. And she's freaking out because she does not want to consummate the marriage. And Lydia's like, oh, just, you're gonna have to do it for Henry, blah, blah, blah. So we can kind of see the whole shades of her, I guess, like, her whole protecting Ryder at all costs.
Yeah.
Is coming through.
I actually really liked Lydia in this episode.
Mm.
She showed a lot more complexity than we had seen before.
Mm.
Because... At the end, the last time we'd seen her, it was kind of unclear where that left them. Like, she tried to kill Quinn and then failed, and that's all we saw.
Yeah,
it was kind of unclear whether they were going to be like a thing again or how they felt about each other. But you know, Lydia's kind of like a prisoner, and she's
on Vale's side.
Yeah, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously everyone in this show was mostly, they're out for themselves, right? They're there to protect number one. But, you know, like, she would rather help Vale than Quinn at this point.
Yeah. But it was, like, interesting that, like, her relationship with Vale versus her relationship with Jade. You know, because the other wife, basically. Well, I guess also... I'm sure it helps that, you know, Vale has no interest.
Vale's what?
Vale has no interest.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with Quinn. And also with Jade, like, didn't Jade do that thing where she, like, poisoned herself to frame Lydia? Like, there was that whole thing, too.
Well, no. Yes, she did that, but I was talking before she did that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think the power structures were different, too. You know, like, Lydia had a lot of power and blah, blah, blah. So, you know. Sorry, I'm just, like, looking at my notes. I really enjoyed that we got a Widow-Sunny tag team. It was unexpected, but highly enjoyable.
Yeah, I didn't expect Sunny to turn on Chow so quickly, but...
Oh, he has no allegiance to her.
I dug it.
Are you about to sneeze? Bless you. You good?
Yeah.
This is what we do for you guys. We record even when we're sick and dying. Even when we have a tumor in our brains that causes us to sometimes see...
God forbid, Maggie.
I can't go over that stupid tumor thing. It's gonna make me annoyed forever. Anyway, so... They have to do a gross marriage sham ceremony thing, which
it was
just,
really pretty, though.
It was pretty. And it was, you know...
It was an impractical amount of candles, but, you know...
That's this whole show, though, is an impractical amount of candles. I mean, did you see, like, literally every scene in the past couple episodes had, like, a, like, boatload of candles everywhere? But, yeah. So they have the marriage ceremony, and, like, every Badlands tradition, apparently, blood must be involved, so they have to slice each other's hands and hold them together, because... Obviously, no one in the Badlands has any kind of, you know, immune problems or bloodborne diseases. Like, it's all good. Just infect your loved ones, right? Anyway, so that's the thing. I mean, I'm sure as a medical professional, Vale is just cringing on the inside because God knows what kind of bloodborne pathogens Quinn has. Ew. So that happens, and she is just... Yeah, I mean, you know she wants to kill... She's thinking about killing Quinn because of all the things she's saying to Lydia before they go off. Poor Henry, he doesn't... Poor Vale, poor everyone, except for Quinn. Yeah. Quinn can just die. But, like, poor Vale.
Yeah, it was interesting how the show walked the line between, like, her being, like, a helpless captive and having her have her own... you know, kind agency. Of agency in trying to escape her situation. Like, obviously she escaped a few episodes ago, but now she's stuck there again. But she's not just sitting there waiting, but she's also trying to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of worked for me, though it would have really been nice to see Vale outside of Prisoner Vale in this season.
Yeah.
Like, she makes it on her own.
Very briefly escape, but...
Right, but I mean, it wasn't really... I mean, it was very short.
I mean, I'm so... I mean, so, Quinn's trying to consummate the marriage or whatever, and she has that dagger that he apparently doesn't see because he's an idiot. Like,
it looked like a razor.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it wasn't a dagger, it was a razor, you're right. She has a razor strapped to her leg or whatever, and, like, she's just about to try to slash his neck with it, which I think would have worked because, I mean, it wasn't like guards were in the room watching them, so, like, she could have gotten away with it.
They weren't in the room when it happened.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, if she had decided to kill him, it could have worked. I mean, I feel like he has a lot of fighting prowess, so maybe not, but, like, if she was able to expertly slash him in the neck... She could have
and you would
made
think
it
she
out.
Could because she was doctor.
She was doctor. yes. But, you know, thankfully, Lydia kind of sort of saves the day by delivering the message to him immediately about how Sunny's back. And I mean, I love how, well, first of all, that gets Quinn to not consummate, which I was like, would that spur him on? Because I thought for a moment, I'm like, I'm hoping this is not going to spur him on to, like, be disgusting. But no, he takes a more practical approach. He's like, I gotta, like, take care of the situation. And then, like, I just love how, like, Vale was just so happy to hear the news because she thought he was dead, and I was like, oh my god, finally he has, like, a glimmer of happiness in her life because it's been such a long time. I mean, all her parents are dead, everyone she knows and cares about is dead, like, jeez. So, you know, finally, is Jade dead? No, right? Jade's still alive.
No,
right?
Jade is just banished.
Okay. Well, I was like, I can't remember what happened to her after the whole Quinn situation. But...
Yeah.
Okay, so Vale has a glimmer of hope. And I also think maybe this is just, like a rule within the show. But it seems to... There seems to be a rule that, like, Vale cannot directly kill a person. And if she does, she's no longer Vale. Kind of a rule.
Okay, in, yeah. Like, a character rule in place.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's, like, the purity and... I guess, like, the purest character in the show. She has not killed anyone directly. I mean, I guess she kind of sort of tried to poison people from time to time, but, like, never really worked out.
No,
she would always heal them back. But, yeah. You
but
know,
Sonny got a glimmer of hope, too. Like, right, when he found out about Vale.
And Henry!
And Henry!
And Henry! Because Widow's like, oh, and her and your baby, Henry. And he's like, what? So, like, that was really nice.
Yeah, I don't, like, he didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl or what, or, you know, anything. Never mind whether it survived.
His weird, trippy, whatever, death dream.
I don't think he would take that seriously.
Right. But even in the dream, he was like, it's a boy named Henry. And it's like, okay. I mean, I
maybe
think
they talked
like...
about baby names. I don't know.
Sorry?
Maybe they talked about baby names.
Well, didn't they name the kid after Vale's father or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
Anyway, so those are really all my notes, but if we end the episode now, this is going to be like our shortest episode ever. So any other situations, scenes you want to talk about more in depth?
Let's see. I really liked the episode. It was... a much-needed step up from the last episode, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to go watch the next episode right now, and I actually might. you know, I want Sunny and Vale to reconcile and be glorious together.
Yeah, I want them to meet, because it's going to be so, so... Like, see, that's, like, instead of the whole, like, Breaking Bad, a big payoff is when they finally break into the Citadel Fortress and attack the big... Instead of that, this is our, like... This is our catharsis. This is, like, our big moment is, like, seeing Sunny and Vale back together. Or at least it is for me. I don't know about
no,
all the
same.
Other viewers. But, like, that's what I want the most is to see them reunited again.
I'll be glad when Quinn dies, but it won't be that kind of, like, joy. It'll just be like, oh, finally.
Yeah. Let me look at the episode's IMDb page and other information, because I know I was trying to wrap up this episode, but I think I tried to wrap it up a little bit too fast, so let's see. What's going on with the storyline? Any information? Like, who plays Hassan? I want to know who that guy is.
You shouldn't look it up if you haven't finished and you see how many episodes
sure
people are in.
I'm sure it's fine. Oh yeah, Gabriel showed up for like 2 seconds. Remember that like blonde kid who Quinn's like, oh,
yeah,
blah blah blah, cut me or whatever.
Yeah.
Baron Hassan, played by Alan Y, who was born in Dublin, Ireland. Random. Okay, so this guy was born in Ireland. Is he like Irish though? Like, was he raised there? Let's see. What's he been in? He's been... So the guy who was killed off in, like, 2 seconds, he's been in... I don't think I know any of these... any of these... He looks like just kind of, like, not super high-key stuff. But also looks like it's mainly British stuff, so... I don't know. Seems like a lot of, like, UK things. Nope, I don't know any of his... I don't know his work, really. Let's see, anyone else new in this episode? We see What's-Her-Face, that doll, who Tilda was kind of flirting with, right? Or kissed?
Yeah.
She shows up for, like, a little bit. Is her name... Is her name Odessa, that character? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You're like, I don't know. I think so, because I'm looking at a picture of her on IMDb. Yeah, I feel like most of the people in this show are, like, newcomers. Who's the lady who plays Chow, though? Let's see. Her name is Eleanor Matsuura. Wait, she was in Wonder Woman? What? Okay, so apparently Chow was in Wonder Woman. Must have been for like 2 seconds as one of the Amazons, since I did not recognize her. Playing Eponine? No, that's someone from Les Mis. Epione? I don't know how to pronounce. What is it? Greek? Uh-huh. Let's see. She was in Sherlock too? I'm so confused. Oh, Sherlock, but like new Sherlock that I haven't seen. Oh, she's been in a lot of stuff, this lady. So, this Eleanor Matsuura lady, she's been in, let's see. She's been in Doctor Who in 2008. She played Joe Nakashima in the Sauterian Stratagem, which I'm sure I watched, but I don't remember. What else? Utopia, Law and Order UK. Let's see. Some random Star Wars video game. She's played someone in Sherlock in the episode called The Six Thatchers. So we're gonna do another episode of Into the Badlands next week. I'm not sure if we have anything lined up for the week after that. I think we had floated the idea of maybe talking about Steven Universe. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could do that.
I think we'd have only one more episode of Badlands at that point, though. So we could just finish off the season.
Yeah, maybe we'll just finish off the season. Yeah. So, I know I made some shout-outs to some of our older episodes, but y'all should see Children of Men, because it's still one of my favorite movies of all time. And there were some Children of Men-ish moments in here. Also, apparently everyone in this show is from the UK, so that's also a thing. Cool. So, we will talk to you next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.